When we were thinking about a theme for our Christmas podcast, I admitted that being the Grinch that I am, I actually have a bit of a grudge against Christmas movies. I think that they can be really gimmicky, they play on people's nostalgia, and they get to claim this classic title that they don't necessarily deserve. They get all those annual royalties for being played every Christmas, but would they actually have that much longevity if they weren't Christmassy movies? So, based on my Grinchy opinions, we're each picking a Christmas film and we're going to consider whether or not we think it would still be as popular if it wasn't a Christmas movie. So today, I will be talking about Gremlins.
And I'm going to be talking about Love Actually.
Are you having a holly jolly?
So, with Gremlins, I suppose the first thing I considered was, could this film even exist if it wasn't Christmassy? Could you actually extract a feasible plot, even if you remove those Christmas references? And then secondly, I was considering, would it still be a good movie? So would it still be popular even if it wasn't one of the many Christmas films that gets dredged out each year by the local channels? So, the first Mogwai gizmo is a Christmas gift from the eccentric inventor to his son, Billy. So obviously, that could have just as easily been a birthday gift or anything else. That reference to Christmas isn't all that important. One kind of massive Christmassy theme in Gremlins is just that it aligns itself quite deliberately with It's a Wonderful Life. So it sort of sets itself up in this sort of parallel, idyllic middle American community. So in It's a Wonderful Life, the setting is Bedford Falls, and in Gremlins, they're called Kingston Falls. You know, there's an antagonist who's a greedy banker, and they sort of confirm this parallel when Billy's mom is watching It's a Wonderful Life while she's making dinner. So they're obviously trying to like set up this sort of, yes, this is a Christmas movie, this is a, you know, a happy community, and they're about to destroy it all with the Gremlins. So I think that that's quite an important parallel theme there that probably wouldn't work so well if it wasn't a Christmas movie. It also sort of relies on Christmas for its kind of visual aesthetics. So there's a lot of juxtaposition in there. You know, there's all these sort of festive scenes where there's like glitter and tinsel everywhere. But then, you know, the gremlins are coming along and they're all evil. So examples of that would be when Lynn is approaching this record player, which is playing Do You Hear What I Hear? And she's got this big kitchen knife to fend off the gremlins that are attacking her. There's also a montage at one point where everyone is like decorating their trees and having a lovely Christmas time. And then an army of gremlins are just like descending on the town from the high school. And another one is when a horde of gremlin Christmas carolers sing up and start caroling at an old woman's door, and they're sort of all dressed up and they're singing, and it's really funny. There's all these kind of juxtapositions in those aesthetics that obviously would not work if it wasn't a Christmas movie.
I hate Christmas carolers. Screeching voice, little blue snippers.
I warned you, Brant!
Would it work if it was a different holiday, though?
I was wondering that too. I thought that Halloween, maybe like it would be a little bit obvious, but maybe like Valentine's Day or something. I was sort of thinking like, how could they make it so that you still have those visual juxtapositions, like with the glitter and the glam, versus the gremlins? I don't know if it would work as well. I think it would still possibly be fun, but I just don't know if you'd have that kind of clever visual comedy.
Yeah, like I told you before we came in, I've never seen this. But it sounds like most of the comedy is coming from the parallels between these little gremlins ruining Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, I think, like when I was researching this, I read some articles that were sort of saying, you know, this is like a commentary on capitalism and everyone's going out and buying these presents, and then the inventor buys Mogwai in Chinatown somewhere. And it's just like, you know, is this communism coming in? And, you know, all this sort of stuff. So, yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff going on there. But it is like essentially a creature feature. So technically, it's just a monster movie. Like, it doesn't have to rely on that Christmas aesthetic for anything. Like, it's like Critters or one of those other kind of B-movies from the 80s, you know?
It just wouldn't be as funny if it wasn't at Christmas.
Exactly, yeah. So it's just a monster movie with a lot of humor. So, you know, when I actually started watching it, given the theme, I kind of thought, oh God, I've actually picked a really bad film for this topic, because it could actually really easily exist outside the Christmas setting. It would just be a different type of movie. It wouldn't be kind of the funny, maybe commentary on capitalism. It would be maybe a horror movie based on maybe with some other social commentary. I don't know. But it does actually, it has some nods to horror movies as well as Christmas ones. Yeah, at one point, Billy is watching TV in his room or in the attic or something, and he's watching Attack of the Body Snatchers, and the cocoons that the gremlins come out of once they've kind of done their metamorphosis thing, the cocoons are very reminiscent of those that the facehuggers come out of in Alien. So there's these sort of visual references to horror movies as well as Christmas movies. And another article that I read actually sort of said that that's something that the gremlins does. It's like referencing a million different kind of pop culture things that were happening at the point where it was being made in the 80s, and then it doesn't actually say, it doesn't have an outright message at the end about them. It's just sort of, you know, making its mark.
Sounds a bit like Nightmare Before Christmas is kind of living in between the two holidays.
Yeah, exactly. So it is an interesting one, and I think like that whole genre, the kind of horror slash Christmas movie, is an interesting one, because you do end up with that visual aesthetic of the Christmassy tinsel and then the physical horror. But obviously Gremlins, it's not a particularly scary movie. So yeah. So I suppose in summary, would Gremlins still be a classic if it wasn't a Christmas movie? I think so. I think it might be a horror cult classic, like similar to Critters, as I said earlier, or Evil Dead, or Child's Play, or one of those kind of really cheesy horror movies from the 80s, early 90s, that sort of thing. But I still think it would be considered a classic in certain, you know, circles. I think it is a really clever piece of satire, and as I said, it's got a number of nods to pop culture. And Steven Spielberg was the producer, so it would have been difficult for that to flop, basically. So that's my opinion on Gremlins.
Yeah, so still a cult classic, maybe not a Christmas classic.
Exactly.
I hope he's housebroken.
Hey. Oh, isn't he cute? Has it got a name, Dad?
Yeah, Mogwai.
What?
Mogwai. I don't know, some Chinese word. I just call him Gizmo. He seems to like it.
Well, as I said, I watched Love Actually for possibly the 100th time. Which finally gave me a chance to get to grips with every single person in the plot.
Nice.
There are many. Yeah. It's an ensemble cast. So first thing is that Love Actually was never originally supposed to be a Christmas film. But Richard Curtis really liked the idea of doing a Christmas film, so he centered it around that time. It was actually two plots. One was around Colin Firth's character, and one was around Hugh Grant's character, if I remember right. I don't know if they played the Prime Minister and the recently cheated on man, but it was those two men anyway. So, I mean, to give him props, it was a good marketing technique.
Yeah.
We have a lot of ensemble holiday romance movies out there, and this is kind of the long-standing one. And Richard Curtis is a giant in the rom-com world. This is the guy who gave us Notting Hill, Four Weddings and a Funeral. I think he might have done one of the Bean movies as well, but he did Bridget Jones as well. And all those films are still absolutely adored by people. You know, they've kept up. So it's hard to decide if it will be popular if he took Christmas away, since it's a Richard Curtis film. And that carries a lot of weight, especially with the British public.
Yeah.
I feel like in one of his films, he mentions Richard Curtis films, but I can't remember. I might be thinking of About a Boy.
Thank you.
I know. I knew there was a person in such
scope.
Oh,
God, it's half the book. Oh, no. Just leave them, please. They're not important. They're not worth it. Stop. Stop. It's all just rubbish. Just leave it.
So I'm going to point out all the reasons why it needed to be set around Christmas for the plot to work. I also don't think it would be a classic like it is now without Christmas tying all nine of the plot points together. The whole thing kind of falls apart without it. I mean, most of it does. No one's sitting around watching Valentine's Day or New Year's Eve every New Year's Eve or Valentine's Day. But everyone watches Love Actually at Christmas time. If it wasn't set at Christmas, some of the plot points would happen at really random times. There's no Christmas show for Sam to play drums and impress Joanna that she sings at. It would have been a battle of the bands and something significantly less romantic. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that would have had the same weight. The cards that Mark shows Juliet outside her house while he's playing Christmas carols on the radio. Oh, not on the radio, on the cassette player, yeah. If I remember right. They specifically say that he tells her he loves her because it's Christmas and that's when you tell the truth. I mean, he could have done it on Valentine's Day. Would that have been even more desperate than it is in the first place? Are they creepy? Are they romantic? You know, that's not a question for us.
That's a question for another day.
Billy Mack, Bill Nye's character, he's releasing a Christmas number one and trying to rejuvenate his career through this. He's rewriting a cover and centering it on Christmas Day to make a hit because love is not all around us. Christmas is all around us. If you remember that tune. And if you've seen About a Boy, which I mentioned earlier, you know that one Christmas hit can set you up for life.
I feel it in my fingers. I feel it in my toes.
I feel it in my toes, yeah.
Love is all around me.
All around
and
me.
And so the thing.
I'm afraid you did it again, Bill.
It's just I know the old version so well, you know.
So I don't know if a regular comeback hit would have had the same impact as a Christmas hit by a sort of aging, forgotten rock star. I can't conceive of his plot happening without Christmas.
Okay.
I don't think it would have had as big of a change to his life as it did his Elton John party.
Okay.
Harry, Alan Rickman's character. Personal pet peeve of mine there. His despicable behaviour at the Christmas party.
Yeah.
What was it his secretary says? Dark corners for dark deeds.
Creepy.
Yeah. That scene where Emma Thompson tries to pull herself together in her bedroom while Joni Mitchell is playing in the background. Oh, I can't. Yeah.
Oh, this is after she discovers the necklace.
When she thinks it's a necklace and it turns out to be a CD.
Yeah.
Which, during my research, someone rightly pointed out if she was a huge fan, she would already own.
She would. would have that CD.
All in all, a terrible gift. Also, what, you know, CDs, cassettes, what time is it?
Yeah.
You know, the reason she pulls herself together is because it's Christmas. And the kids are downstairs and they're waiting to go to her parents or his parents. And she doesn't have the time to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if it was a regular day, she could have just confronted her husband, sent her kids to stay with her mom or something. He also doesn't seem like the kind of guy who gives random gifts, though. So it would have been her birthday or their anniversary,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, another scarf, as he mentioned in the film. So it's hard to tell with that one. I think, once again, the impact would have been a lot less if it wasn't Christmas. I think the fact that it's not about her,
mm-hmm.
it's about her family being kept together for the holidays, kind of makes that more awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Sarah, the woman who's in love with the man in the office.
Oh, yes.
The American woman, Laura Linney. She uses a slow dance at the Christmas party as an excuse to get closer to Carol. And there's not really any other office party where that kind of carry on would be okay or pop up. Dave and Natalie, the Prime Minister's character. She sends him a Christmas card saying that she's his, even though he fired her like a month earlier. And there's not really another time to send a card except a birthday, but I don't know, it just doesn't have the same vibe to it.
And then more personal, isn't it?
Yeah, there's something about a birthday card. And then, you know, they use the Christmas show to have their first kiss, and that's he goes looking for her and he can't just talk to her, they have to go in a car with an octopus. And
yeah.
It's back to Sam's character. If it wasn't a Christmas show, there's two plot points that kind of wouldn't come together.
Yeah.
There's a lot about this film that Christmas ties rather than is centred around it. It's not that all these things are set at Christmas, it's that Christmas makes all these things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very well written in that way, that one event, things don't happen at it, things happen because of it,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was really interesting. Colin, the London man who moves to America, his has nothing to do with Christmas. We can ignore that completely. And then the couple, John and Judy, who meet on the set.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Same again, we can just ignore that.
Yeah.
So that's 7 out of 9 anyway. And then Rufus, the shop assistant, Rowan Atkinson. He was originally supposed to be a Christmas angel. And that's why Alan Rickman's character doesn't get to buy the necklace and Sam's character manages to get through the airport. But I think he was supposed to maybe disappear at the end or maybe, you know, break the fourth wall in some way.
Like, we're supposed to know that he's an angel?
No, I think they changed their mind and didn't specifically make him an angel, okay. But he's just a regular man, but he's clearly not just a regular man.
He makes things happen.
Yeah, he's got that sort of, I haven't seen It's a Wonderful Life in a long time, but there's an angel in that as well,
yeah,
isn't there?
Yeah.
Who kind of does the same, things happen.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of a nod there, I suppose, but they didn't end up including it in the final cut. They cut out two other storylines as well that aren't in it at all.
Looking for anything in particular, sir?
Yes, that necklace there, how much is it?
It's £270.
All right, I'll have it.
Lovely. Would you like it gift wrapped?
Yes, all right.
Lovely. Let me just pop it in the box. There.
Look, could we be quite quick?
Certainly, sir. Ready in the flashiest of flashes.
So, if we go back to the initial question of would this be a film without Christmas, I don't think it could exist without Christmas. It would just be another ensemble romance, like he's just not that into you. But so much of it wouldn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it needs Christmas for all these things to happen. It doesn't happen because of Christmas. Oh, does that make sense?
It's Christmas is the thing that ties them all together, as you said earlier. It's not necessarily that Christmas is the catalyst. It's just the recurring theme that groups all these things.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah. They didn't need Christmas, but
it doesn't.
It helped them along.
Yeah, it
doesn't make sense without Christmas. I really don't think it does. And to go back to, is it actually a good movie? I think it's one of those, personally, that nostalgia keeps going.
Yeah.
It reminds me a bit of all the Judd Apatow comedies from the early 2010, kind of. They didn't age well.
Yeah.
Like Sex and the City, like Friends, you know, it doesn't make sense with how we see each other now to how we saw each other back then. Especially the scene with the cards outside our house.
Yeah.
That's a big point of contention for a lot of people, I think.
It's super creepy. And I remember the first time I saw it, I thought, oh my God, that's so romantic. And I loved your man, Andrew
Lincoln.
Lincoln. I was like, oh, he's so handsome. But no, when you rewatch it, it's like, yeah, oh.
That's your best friend upstairs who's married to that woman that you've never spoken to.
Yeah, it's super creepy.
Yeah, she's a stranger to you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it is a good film and I think it couldn't exist without Christmas.
Okay. So we've had one of each then, really. We've had Gremlins could definitely exist and would possibly still be a classic. And then we've had Love Actually, which could probably exist but definitely wouldn't be a classic.
No.
Yeah.
Not a bad film, but I don't think it would have the hold it has on people if it wasn't Christmassy.
Okay, I'm going to consider that justification for my Grinchy opinion that Christmas movies are nostalgia alone and they wouldn't all be classics otherwise.
I think that's it.
That's it.